And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Okay, it is time. This is Stan Weisleder at the Mark Grouse Studio. That's a plug for them. And I'm here today with my wingman and producer, Malcolm Berman.
What is a wingman?
A wingman is a guy who looks out for the other guy. You always cover my back. You got my back.
Do I have anybody that covers me or?
You. You're Mel Blackhound.
I just wanted to know.
You cover your back and you watch my back. Okay?
Okay.
And anyway, our special guest today on The View from Over Here is Jason Hadley.
Thank you.
And he is a comedian, actor, and he is also somebody from New York City. Like we are, right?
Sure.
All right.
Where in New York?
In the West Side. I don't know.
Oh, you're not from New York?
No, I'm not from New York.
You're not from New York.
But they always say in improv, never deny. And then you box yourself into a corner.
You're supposed to say, right, of course.
Actually, born and raised in Los Angeles. I know. I'm one of
You're born and raised in Los Angeles?
One of three.
You know what?
There's three of us.
There's nobody. There's nobody that... Well, here's somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do people born and raised in Los Angeles think?
We have moments.
Do you?
Yeah, and fewer of those moments now that we have medical marijuana laws.
Oh.
Yeah, those moments are much fewer.
Hey, listen, quick announcement. People have asked me, how can they get the show? How can they watch the show? Okay, this is on a podcast. That means you can get the show whenever you want, wherever you are, okay? And it's very easy. And Malcolm is going to tell you how easy it is.
You go to malcolmdigitalradio.com. Again, Malcolm, M-A-L-C-O-L-M, digitalradio.com. And you see, we're one of actually three shows that are on there. Our show is The View from Over Here, and you will see our pictures as it's up there on the screen.
Sexy, handsome chaps.
Yes.
Handsome chaps.
Especially the one on, what am I, on the right or the left?
Whatever.
Yeah. But anyway.
The guy on the side.
And we keep all the back shows now, so you can hear this show or any of the previous shows that we've had by just going there. And you can do it anytime you want.
Yeah.
We don't tell you what time to go on. You go on when you feel like going on.
And what's more, you don't have to get dressed up. You could be sitting in your underwear or in nothing watch the show.
Oh, not be on the show. Okay, never
mind. Well, no. Actually, you can't be on the show. Not you, per se. But if you're the right, well, actually, we can't do it anymore. We offend people. I don't know if you can do only women topless. You might need men topless also. Or transgender type topless.
Well, you know what? That has become such a crazy thing lately. I was watching TV last night, and they were talking about somebody at some North Carolina college that gets upset if you talk about your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whatever person
whatever
friend. Yeah. It's getting to the point where you can't say a goddamn thing.
Well, you just said you use the word God in vain.
I do it all the time.
You're going to go to hell.
I've already been there and back.
Well, everything's been so...
Well, that's Calabasas.
Yeah, right. The People's Republic of Calabasas. Right.
I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Yeah. You know?
Also, you can't say fuck. Mm-hmm. Can't say shit.
But can you fuck?
At my age, yeah, maybe once in a while,
yeah,
maybe.
But your age, constipation takes its role also. Yeah, you like our topic.
Yeah, no, hey, you know, give me a lot to look forward to. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Doesn't it make you feel at home, Jason?
Absolutely. I tell you, it makes me want to walk around in my underwear.
Right. Is this what they talk about at your family dinners?
This is a typical
question. That guy in New York, Howard Stern, he used to have females come on his show topless.
Right, but it was a radio show.
Yeah. But he also did it on TV, too. Does he still do that?
I believe so on Sirius, or Sirius Radio, subscription radio. Yeah.
So he doesn't do any kind of a TV thing where they come on, you know?
No, he had a cable.
Yeah, he had a cable show for a long time. And then, if I'm not mistaken, he was, he had his show on E. And then prior to that, he had a show like on KCAL 9 or something like that, way back
KCAL?
In the, yeah.
I can't imagine him on
back when it was K... TLA or no, KJLA or something like that. Long, long time ago.
I've been watching. Yeah, I can't imagine him on regular broadcast.
I know, but it was, I remember it was like around midnight or so, because I used to stay up to watch it.
Well, you know what he has to do if he goes on TV again? He has to comb his hair.
Why?
It's a mess. It's all...
It's a style.
What style would you call that?
I wish I had the hair.
Right. He's making a statement that he has an abundance of hair.
It's a hell of a statement.
Yeah, right.
That's part of the testosterone.
Testosterone?
Testosterone. I forget that word. I forget about it.
Testosterone.
Right. Right.
Remember.
How do you spell it?
T-E-S-T-O-S-E-R-O-N-E. I think.
Right. Your next word is diplodocus.
Diplodocus, right.
I quit.
Jason, use it in a sentence.
Yeah. Tell us. We want to know about your career.
Tell us about anything that you think we should know about.
Yeah, whatever comes to your mind.
Because sure.
This show is to expose you.
You're supposed to be you're a comedian, right?
I am indeed.
Okay. You're an actor.
First, say something funny.
Something funny.
Good.
Very good. Very good.
I was going for accuracy.
Mm. Yes. Right.
Did okay so far?
We noticed.
In your own words, who the hell are you?
The hell am I? Gosh. Okay, so it was...
In the old days,
In the days of yore...
Who the fuck are you?
The fuck are you?
Hey.
Who the fuck are you?
Hey, we don't know. This is... Hey, both of us are from Brooklyn.
Yeah?
What do we know? Talk on.
So.
Stan. Let him speak.
It was...
Are you ready to speak?
I'm not stopping him. Am I stopping him? No.
We always do the show.
What? Jason, don't mind us.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, long story short, class clown growing up, I was...
What school did you go to?
I went to Grant High School, Ulysses S. Grant High School.
Ah, so you're a Valley boy.
Yeah, I'm San Fernando Valley, and then I went to Valley College right next door, which we called Grant West. So basically you could hang out with all your old high school buddies, but now everybody could smoke out in the open.
You know, dope.
Right. Amongst other things.
Okay.
Yeah. A long list. But nevertheless, so I was voted class clown as in my senior high school class, but it turned out that you had to maintain a certain grade point average in order to actually, you had to have like a C average in order to be considered. So I was nominated, but then I couldn't actually accept the nomination because I wasn't doing well in school. To which I'm like, do you know how hard it is to be a class clown? Do you know the level of work that goes into that? There are sacrifices that do need to be made.
Were you a class clown on purpose or just naturally?
Naturally. I got to tell you, all of this is 100% organic. Farm to table.
So what we see is what we get.
Yeah. You know what it is? I love having fun with people. That's all there is to it. I mean, as long as we're having fun, I don't care where it goes. I'm very unoffendable.
Do you make fun of yourself or only other people?
Oh, myself constantly. Yeah. Constantly.
And what does your therapist say about that?
That'll be $75 an hour, please.
Very good.
And that's our 15-minute hour.
That's cheap. $75 an hour.
That's cheap.
That's dirt cheap.
No, really.
Well, you haven't gone for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, insurance covers it, so, you know.
Okay, continue.
Anyway, so, ... I go through the motions of life. I go through college and working world and develop a career in advertising sales. And one day I'm sitting in the huddle.
You said you went through college.
Yes.
Did you go through puberty?
Yeah. Okay.
Advertising sales, be specific. I was into that. Oh, radio,
okay. So I did print.
Oh.
So some of it was business-to-business magazines. Some of it I sold for LA Weekly, the paper here in LA. And in any case, so I find my calling about 10 or 11 years ago where a friend of mine happened to be dating a stand-up comic. And he's like, wow, you should give comedy a try. And I was like, tell me how. So he invites me to an open mic. I meet the guy running the open mic. He says, you want some time? It'll be your first time. No problem. Come back next week. I'll have something for you. So, in the meantime, I go out and I get The Idiot's Guide to Stand-Up Comedy.
Wait a minute, there's such a book?
There is, in fact, such a book.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but it gave me the basics and kind of taught me, you know, like how to kind of own the stage and how to structure a joke. And so my first time on stage, I had jokes prepared. I had something. I knew what to kind of do with my hands, so to speak. And
I know what to do with your pocket.
Right.
I know what to do with your hands.
Well, yeah, right. If it was only that kind of show, right?
When in doubt.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. When in doubt, leave it out.
Yeah. When in doubt, knock on all the neighbors' houses, tell them you moved into the area. So anyway, so I go and I have this just killer first set. You know what I mean? Like, nobody knows who the hell I am. This is my first time. And I wrote all these jokes. I had the structure. I had this killer set, right? And they're just like, I remember the host was like, if this is the future of stand-up comedy, I'm in trouble. I thought that was
that's a great line.
Oh, and then I told,
great for you.
Yeah, and so I thought to myself, I got this stand-up thing down. I am going to be famous in a week, right? Second set I ever do. Just like, not only did I think about, like, well, where did I lose them? I finally came to the realization that I never had them. You know what I mean? Like, apparently people are a lot kinder to you when they know it's your first time on stage. So, anyway, so, you know.
Did they walk out in droves?
No, no. It was more of like, there's nothing more deafening than the sound of silence.
Silence, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is loud.
I've heard the song.
It is loud.
So now when you go on, do you tell everyone, now this is my first time. So
right, right. Exactly. Just so I can get that sympathy magic. Yeah.
Well, shouldn't they be nice if you tell them that? Wouldn't they be more, kind?
Well, I'll tell you what. It wasn't that for my first gig, I didn't necessarily say that it was my first time. The host had made that announcement. So I was
–
it's one thing when somebody else kind of endorses you versus you pandering for sympathy. So, you know, that being said, though, I wanted to be treated like everyone else because it gave me a false sense of bravado from my first time to, like, my second, third, fourth. And as I started to really kind of learn my chops, so to speak.
Okay, then tell us from your own discovery, why did you fuck up?
I think because I assumed the audience liked me when I got up on stage. And the one thing that I found in my development as a comedian is you have to get the audience on your side immediately before you can start going into anything that has any kind of polarizing type of
How do you
humor.
Do that?
How do I usually do – I do like more self-deprecating jokes because if I get everybody laughing at me, then eventually at some point during my set I'll turn it around and get everybody laughing at themselves.
But are they laughing at you or laughing with you?
A little of both, and I don't mind. You know, I mean, here's the thing. I'm going on stage so people can have a good time. I mean, I really have like a more spiritual view of stand-up comedy in the sense that like a husband and wife go out, right? Every woman loves a guy with a great sense of humor, but not every guy has one. That's why guys bring their women to us. So we get them all, help them get liquored up and get them laughing, get them in a good mood. And then the husband or the boyfriend or the first date, they're like, thanks, we'll take it from here. And then they go.
You're stuck on stage.
Yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, I'm stuck on stage. They're going and having a great time, making babies or scrimmaging at least. And
What type of material do you use? Is it based on current events, which a lot of comics do, or life situations, or real life stories, or jokes?
Yeah. No, you know, okay. Well, I would say I primarily classify myself as like a joke teller in the sense that I love just writing a good joke, but I do try to incorporate some aspect of myself in it. I would say as far as like from where I'm at in my career, like my big thing that I need to work on is bringing more of Jason Hadley on stage as opposed to just Jason Hadley's wit. You know what I mean? Like I can write a funny joke and I can have a great set and the audience laughs and it's all good and I love doing it.
Wait, do you write all your material or do you take a little from here, a little from there?
No, everything's purely organic. I mean, there's certain things that influence. Usually what happens is like something funny happens to me or something funny I overhear or something like that. And then I kind of build a joke around it because I just want to capture that funny. You know, like for instance, there was a joke I do about Megan Fox, the actress.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're aware, but she has these little teeny tiny stubby little thumbs. It's like a genetic condition.
But she has large nipples.
Right, exactly.
Never noticed her thumbs.
Exactly. No, I know. She's gorgeous. Everything about her is absolutely gorgeous.
Her thumbs.
But like they show this close-up of her. She has this thumb condition, like a genetic like shortening of her thumb. That's like some long like pterodactyly thummy scientific-y thing. Anyway, my point being is that the joke was like, oh, wow, I imagine it's really hard for her to pick stuff up. You know, and then I thought to my, and then I watched a movie and I was like, oh, like acting, you know?
But wait a minute, but people,
Jason,
would know about
Jason,
that.
Oh, they do.
They do.
Oh,
yeah.
They do.
Oh, Jason, you're sick.
It's a thing.
Okay.
It's a known thing.
Jason, you're sick.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I take that in the spirit in which it was intended.
You just paid him a compliment.
I know.
I'll take it.
Are you looking forward to this political season with or do you tell jokes on what's happening or is it too funny unto itself?
I actually tend to stay away from politics myself just because it tends to polarize the room. But if I'm going to do it, I follow the equal time law and I do a little bit about each. You know what I mean? So but my big thing right now is I totally think that I cannot wait to laugh my ass off when the Republican Party pulls the nomination out from under Trump.
Ah.
I completely think that's going to happen. This is my tinfoil hat speaking, but I have a feeling that they – I think there's some grand conspiracy to have let them get all along this way, and then they're going to pull the rug out from under him and just to teach
him
a lesson.
Well, that should happen. I think they'll lose for sure, because if anybody could beat Hillary, he's the only one.
Yeah, but he does it in like this Carnival Barker style. I mean, he's a you know.
Well, have you noticed him lately? He gave a very impressive speech in Pennsylvania.
Well, if he
keeps up with that kind of performance, who knows?
Well, the whole thing is he's not speaking off the top of his head as he usually does. He's reading off the teleprompter,
right?
Which he criticizes everybody for doing at the beginning.
Yeah, but that's how he got into trouble. He is his own worst enemy by putting his own foot in his own mouth,
right?
When he should have somebody double checking before he even opens his mouth.
Yeah, but that's not him.
Right. Yeah. Then he's such a shoot from the lip.
He won't get in then.
No, but my problem with that is if he now becomes a member of the Republican Party and expounds what they profess, he's not the same Trump that people voted for as a outsider.
He's a novelty.
Yeah.
I believe he is a novelty. I don't understand how he's managed to get this far without somebody letting it happen.
I tell you, it's simple.
You know?
I look at it in a very simplistic way. And I'm not saying that I'm for him 100%, but I could see where he's
100%?
Got... 100%? Not quite. I'm not 100% sure.
We might have to suspend the show till after the election. I don't know if I could say at a table with a co-host.
People have told me, hey... You are thinking about Trump? I don't want to be friends with you anymore. You know, go fuck yourself. Mm. Okay, you don't know what you're talking about. You're stupid. Anyway.
Well, that I know already, so.
Yeah, that's besides the point. But I think he's gotten that far because, number one, he's not a professional politician. People are tired of that bullshit from Washington and these idiots that just want a paycheck every week or month or whatever it is. They do nothing, really.
But at the same time, he has zero experience. He's a carnival barker.
But you know what? Every president that has come on board practically had zero experience.
You know, but here's the thing, is that the answer to the question why Donald Trump is two words, Ronald Reagan. You know what I mean? The guy was an actor. You know, and until he decided to go into politics. Thankfully, he at least started from the bottom up, you know.
Well, he was governor.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he earned his stripes, so to speak. But the fact of the matter is I just think if Donald Trump had run for governor, I could get behind that. And then decided to run for president, I could get behind that. But at least, like, you can't just come in. I mean, that's like the equivalent of, Oprah Winfrey running for president.
That might be a good idea. She would probably win.
But becoming governor won't change the way the country is going. The only way to change it is from the top.
But this is the same guy who takes who takes all of the tax shelters and all the tax credits and all that stuff. I mean, he's just as dirty as everyone else.
He even said that when he made that speech in Pennsylvania.
Right. Yeah.
Talking about what corporations do to buy stuff overseas. He says, I have to admit, I was one of those guys. I did it.
Yeah. No, as a businessman, he's fine. But I don't know whether I want somebody that hopes that the stock market goes down or that people are dispossessed from their homes because he can buy their property at a lesser cost and buy cheap property.
I consider him to be a serious conflict of interest, like an open conflict of interest. Like, okay, yes, Hillary has her financial dirt. We know that. But at the same time, all the politicians have financial dirt. You know, they're politicians and then they get dirty versus him who's dirty and now wants to be a politician.
Yeah. Well, all of them. The only one who I think isn't like that is maybe Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Maybe.
But Bernie,
and he got whipped badly.
But Bernie had been ineffectual. I mean, he hasn't done anything. I mean, there are four people in Vermont.
Other than now.
Four people?
Yeah, four people. I mean, he's governor of Vermont.
Yeah. Right.
He's a senator from Vermont.
Excuse me. What is the capital of Vermont?
I don't know. Maybe
Montpelier.
I don't know.
See? Montpelier.
Oh,
is that right?
The capital. Yeah, I knew the capital. I thought you said, never mind.
How many people live in Vermont?
That's what I thought you said. Maybe 14.
I think they're more like 17 people because someone just gave birth the other day.
And then, I mean, that maple syrup doesn't tap itself, right?
No.
Right.
Now, but that thing is, which I'm disappointed in, is not necessarily Trump. The people who voted for him.
Yes.
It says a lot for
nobody voted for him yet.
Yeah, the ones that did for the primary.
Right.
Okay, well, there you got a lot of the so-called middle class.
It's a
bordering on, you know what?
It's the same way with Bush. The second term. First term, okay, you make a mistake.
Yeah.
But when they voted for him the second term?
But isn't it all like Tea Party people that are supporting Trump at this point?
I don't think they're
He offended them.
Oh, did they?
He's offended. Yeah. I don't know if anybody is supporting him at this particular point, yeah. Except the true line Republicans who are afraid that if...
I'm curious to know who's funding him, because I can't imagine he's doing this all on his own money.
He doesn't have that much funds. I mean, that's the whole thing.
He's spending?
No, he has not paid for any commercials.
From what I've heard,
TV commercials.
He has spent for all of his primary stuff now. He hopes to get money if they go on a real campaign trail.
Right.
Starting from the day of the convention.
They'll get matching funds or whatever.
Assuming that nobody pulls the rug out from under him.
Well, supposedly all the money he spent on the primary election, he hired his own companies. Mm-hmm. So, like, the catering and everything was...
Well, of course.
Sure.
Get it at cost.
Yeah, but all of his campaign buttons were made in China.
But anyway, my joke is he's going to build the wall. On one side could be the wall in Mexico, and the other side's hotels.
Right. Yeah. I think you should have the Chinese come back and build the wall. I mean,
they will.
They are great at building walls.
I mean, they do.
They have more experience.
They have an affinity for building walls.
I got the inside track. If he becomes president... He's going to change the White House to the Trump House.
Right.
And if you want the Lincoln
Room. Are they going to have gambling there?
And if you want to, yeah, they do.
They have gambling now.
And if you want to stay at the Lincoln Room, it's available.
Yeah.
Highest bidder.
Right. And $2.99 steak and lobster between 2 and 4 a.m.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But the problem is, you know, in November it might become a reality.
Oh, you know, and I'm curious to know what's going to be the October surprise. Are you familiar with this concept?
No.
Tell us.
Okay. There's this thing called the October surprise. And I'm trying to remember what the last one was at the last election. But around October, in most of the last few elections, there's always been some media bombshell that breaks in the month of October that's supposed to disrupt somebody's campaign going into November. Like one side or another always drops some bomb on somebody. I'm trying to remember what it was at the last election, but it was like just some controversy that breaks that's
maybe
like a last.
Maybe it was Halloween Day, October
31.
Right? Well, right now what Trump is doing is bringing up all the old things with Hillary.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and with did you realize that Bill was impeached? Had an impeachment trial for him?
Yeah.
Did you know that he got a blowjob?
Well, yeah, but
in the White House and in the Oval Office.
Yeah, they were investigating the dress.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
It was in all the papers.
35 agents on that dress, and yet 9/11 happened.
Are you kidding?
Just saying. Yeah. Just saying.
Made her famous.
And everything, you know, and Hillary. Do you know that she's gay?
I don't know.
She had an affair with Eleanor Roosevelt.
Not only do I hope she's gay, I hope to God she sleeps with Monica Lewinsky. I would pay to see.
No, her and Pocahontas.
Right.
You know, that's a good gag for
you. Can you imagine two Clintons that slept with the same intern, you know?
Yeah. I wonder who she'll sleep if she becomes president.
But he never had sex with her.
No, right. Well, I never had sex with that woman. I had sex with that little girl.
Right, yeah.
But not the woman.
Listen, there was some sort of saliva contact on Bill Clinton, I assure you, whatever it may be. It was still inappropriate.
The latest revelations now that he was also boffing
Marilyn Monroe when she was
dead. No.
I think they said,
was it Walter Mondale's daughter or somebody?
I think it was Walter Mondale.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, well, that too, but... He really got around. In fact, there's a great joke. Use it on your routine.
But you have to pay him for it.
Yeah, no doubt.
No, just for free. You like more? If you like this joke, I'll give you a lot more.
Oh, hey, all right.
They did a survey in Washington,
mm-hmm.
and they canvassed all of these. They canvassed all of these women, like 10,000 of them.
Stop
okay?
banging your watch.
My watch
is banging. It's banging.
Well, that's what watches do when you go like this.
Yeah, but that's when the microphone, it goes bang, bang, bang.
Sorry, I'll take off the watch. Anyway, they did this.
Aren't they good to you, Aaron? You don't have to bleep any of that out.
Thank
you
so much.
They did this survey. They asked 10,000 women, would you have sex with President Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 85% of them said, never again. uh-huh. Or then there's another one about Clinton. You must have heard. Chelsea, before she got married. Before she got married.
To a nice Jewish boy.
Well, this is before. She comes home late from a date one night, and Hillary says to her, that boy that you went out with, did you have sex with him in the back of the car? And her answer was, well, not according to Dad.
You can use any of this material.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, thankfully I can get a recording of this when I stream it, you know, at any point. So,
well, the truth is, did you realize that Bill and Caitlyn Jenner had relationships?
With each other?
With each other.
That's news. I hadn't heard that.
Well, we're starting it here, right here on this, on the view from over here. Tell them you heard it here.
So they know where to send the lawsuit.
Right.
Or they know to send the libel suit.
Can you do libel? Is there a libel now?
No, I think libel's print. Slander is verbal.
Oh.
Yeah.
And what's your name again?
Right.
What's your email address?
He said it. If you said you got the you got
it's
it.
It's Hadley. H-A-D-L-E-Y. Hadley.
Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah. Jason Hadley. You can find me on Comedian Jay Hadley on Twitter, as well as the Hollywood Rock.
Right. He sent me all the material.
Now Hadley, is that the name the same name like when you drive throughout the South? Hadley's
the date farms.
Yeah,
I wish.
Oh,
okay. Oh, I wish.
So you're not rich?
No, okay. Clearly no, not.
Okay, now you did your first stand up, right? Now where are you going? Are you still involved in the stand up?
Oh
right?
yeah, absolutely. So from there it just goes into like slugging it out and going to bar gigs and trying to book shows and network with bookers and network with people above you and try to get jobs writing for them. And so it's just kind of growing and growing and growing and moving up the ranks, getting more time under my belt, getting more material under my belt, and then doing it just bigger and bigger stuff. Auditioning for shows at a certain point, you fall into an acting world or a writing world. Or so
how many auditions do you do per gig or per assignment?
Well, usually you can, if you're going to get a part, you're going to know it within two auditions. Usually it's just an audition and then a callback and then they make a decision from there. But in some cases, like larger productions, which, you know, is what I'm trying to vie for, sometimes the audition process is 3 and 4 and 5 right. times, you know, because there's a lot more money on the line. So they really got to make sure that all the people in the approval process are involved.
Do you get a lot of rejections?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you should. I mean, let me put it this way. In baseball, if my acting career, if I booked 3 out of 10 gigs.
You wouldn't be here.
I'd be in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? In baseball standards, I'd be in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you wouldn't be wasting time with us.
Ah, come on.
Have you tried out or have you been to the Improv or the Comedy Store?
I have.
Or, you
know, I've played all those places. Yeah, and sometimes it's through the club. Sometimes it's through individual promoters or producers that rent out a room or what have you. But, you know, the fact of the matter is you're still in the building.
You know, do you find that your fellow comedians, you know, at your same level are friendly or they?
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting, funny question.
It all depends, Malcolm.
It really does. I mean, like, let me put it this way. You know, I mean, remember that, you know, work is a place to earn money and find more work. So while there may be personalities that I observe to be, you know, positive, or personalities that I observe to be negative. It's like I try to distance myself from the negative and gravitate more towards the positive people. But the fact of the matter is that's a matter of opinion, because I know somebody from a certain perspective. They know somebody from a certain perspective. So it's kind of nebulous.
Well, let me ask you,
I try to work with everybody because I know.
Do you get a better response or more friendly response from people that are more successful or those who are not as successful? I would think that you would get more negativity from those that are lower than you, that are scratching their way up the ladder.
Yeah, well, you know what it does? It comes off more like as false bravado. You know what I mean? It's all about like that kind of being a paper tiger. You know, everybody's bark is bigger than their actual bite, and they're trying to slug it out. And I was there too. And even the guys that are at the levels above me, like the pros, the one thing that we have in common that
what
levels
us pro? Up. Pro is anybody who gets paid, right?
Well, sure.
Yeah,
but
he means the ones who are well-known.
Like your household names, so to speak, you know. You know, those guys all started out as open micers. That's the one thing we all have in common.
What's an open micer?
Meaning somebody who goes and performs at open mics.
Yeah. They don't get paid. They just go as a...
They just go to practice material.
Okay, just to get their feet wet.
Yeah. Get their feet wet. Hone the craft.
Well, aren't there still some famous comics who do open night? I think Jay Leno supposedly does an open mic night.
And
Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, there's a lot of comics that I like to kind of see that as like giving back to the community. I really respect those guys when they do that, because it's nice for them to – because isn't that the thing kind of about life, is you get to a level and then you reach down and help people?
It also helps them stay in practice.
And do they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, if they're starting shows where they're doing open mics and giving – they can walk into any club at any time and bump anybody off the lineup and just start giving material. Happens all the time. It's like a thing in comedy. Yeah.
Well, so if that happened, what would you do? Would you say, here's my partner for tonight, give this guy a break? You know, you may not have heard of him, mm-hmm. even though he's been on TV and everything.
Sure.
Give the kid a break.
Right. Oh, that happens all the time. Or, you know, sometimes you reach out in advance or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, those guys, you know, they could go into any comedy club and just start doing comedy. But they decide they want to give that time to guys that are lower mm-hmm. on the food chain. God bless them.
Who do you like? Is there one comedian or group of comedians that you sort of to emulate and say, hey, that's the type of humor I like, or is it varied? Or?
Yeah. And well, you know, it kind of spans the spectrum because there's a lot of different facets of comedy that I like. I mean, I like a realism of just like your average day to day, like a Louis C.K., for instance. He just talks about himself and the preposterousness of his world is what's funny. Whereas then there's a guy like Dave Attell, who I'm a big fan of. And he goes into he delves off into weirdo world of odd references, graphic jokes, you know, graphic sex jokes or what have
you. Sounds like me.
Oh, man.
I got another one you could use.
Sure.
You talked up when you said graphic, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Off color. Tell me, how does a blind person know mm-hmm. when they're through wiping their ass?
How?
Think about it. There is no answer.
Oh.
Not that I know.
I guess when it stops itching. Because then they're not reading the Braille on their own sphincter. Yeah. You know?
Did you think you have a spot for Stan on your next show? Get him in front of an open mic?
I don't think so.
I think he wants to have a new career
at
his age. It's a stand-up comic.
What, get up there? Well, first of all, if I could do it sitting down, I can't stand up.
Seriously.
No, that's the
only thing.
I get up there, have people laughing at me. What are you, crazy?
No, laughing with you.
Right.
They're going to laugh at you, okay? Like Jason said, the first thing you start off is deprecating yourself.
Well, don't you deprecating yourself?
I do that anyway, but to get people to laugh at me, I don't think so.
Okay, you're not going to be.
You just don't want that level of affirmation? What it comes down to.
Maybe in the next life, not this one.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I don't mind it. Like, you learn how to thicken your skin in comedy.
Oh.
Especially because the way comics go after each other.
But I have to ask you, you're an experienced comic. You're doing acting. What kind of acting do you like? Comedy also?
Oh, sure.
Serious?
No, I love comedy. But I will say comedy is actually a lot more challenging than doing serious acting, even though I have a comedic background, because as a stand-up, I'm so trained that, once I tell the joke, I hear the laugh. So when
if you don't hear a laugh.
And if you don't hear a laugh, you're you start to get in your own head and go, what's wrong?
Go home.
Right.
There's one famous actor that says, tragedy is simple, comedy is hard.
And well, it's true, because I think, at least from what I've seen.
You think? Good.
I try. Some of the best actors on the screen were or are comics.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. But I think comedy is the hardest form of acting.
I have an insight on why.
If you could do comedy, I think you could do any kind of acting.
Okay, we've heard from you.
So the thing is comedy is all about timing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's why people love jazz, for example, because it's odd timings and it stirs you up. So the comedic actors live in the world of timing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they know how to deliver and when to deliver. But so when you're making a movie and you're delivering a funny line, it's and cut.
Right, yeah.
And then you have to wait for editing to go in and make all the make it really, really funny. It's so weird. My first movie experience, it was am I doing okay? They're you're doing great.
Right.
I'm
there's no feedback.
Really? I'm I'm not,
They haven't added in the canned laughter.
Right.
But they don't do that on a movie, do they?
No. But,
I hate canned laughter.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, someone comes and just says, hi, good morning. How was your day?
Well, that was on radio.
On TV.
It is?
Well, it's on all the three
cameras. Whoa, that's on early TV.
No, it's on TV now.
Even after 9 o'clock?
You see some of the comedy. Well, that's after sex, but I don't watch anything. it's not funny. I'm into pure. Well, you have to also go for cable.
Yeah.
I'm into nudity.
And you are, huh?
Oh, man. Boobies rock.
Oh, speaking of nudity, you know something?
The Game of Thrones has some of the most beautiful. I don't know if you've seen that. They have some of the most beautiful naked women there. I don't know if they do.
But they're all having sex with their brothers.
It's
weird.
Okay.
But listen.
But I don't know if they do casting calls, looking for well-rounded.
In Alabama, those are educational films.
Yeah. That's the job you want, casting director for a series like Game of Thrones. But all kidding aside, Twitter. Okay, it's supposed to be one of the media things out there.
Yeah, social media, right?
You know what? I've been getting on Twitter, and it's coming. I don't even look for it or ask for it. It comes in conjunction with political stuff.
Yeah.
Whether it be with Donald Trump
or
whatever.
A good tweeter.
And you know what?
Yeah, yeah. You tweet on Twitter.
But you know what comes with it?
I don't know if I want to what do you tweet on Twitter and not
Malcolm,
Twitter
let me
on
tell
Twitter.
You what you tweet and Twitter on. I'm getting stuff unsolicited.
Right, right.
That porn stuff.
Yeah. Send them to me.
You want them? I'll send them all to you.
That's their whole job. You haven't gotten like the email from like somebody that wants you to go to their webcam or like, or you haven't gotten Ugandan oil air.
Oh, that's enough.
That one I didn't get.
No, but, yeah, like.
I just got one, yesterday, first time on the email.
Uh-huh.
And it was from the IRS.
Oh, I'm sure
said,
it's from
and
the
they
IRS,
said,
right?
We undercharge you $343, you know, mm-hmm. click
that's,
here.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, right.
I didn't. They sent me the money. It's in my bank. No, I'm kidding.
Of course you're kidding.
But it's the first time that I saw it on the internet. I usually get the phone call from some guy that has this real, you know, voice either from the Philippines or India.
Yeah.
Mr. Berman, you owe $3,000 from your undercharge, and if you don't pay us immediately, we're having the L.A. sheriff come and arrest you.
Malcolm, it's all a scam. IRS does not – come on. The IRS doesn't do that.
No, they don't call. They send letters.
No, they send the police right
away. They send certified letters.
Letters. I know.
Yeah, right.
Regular letter.
But a big scam, I don't know, I haven't heard it recently, where an older folk, they get a phone call saying, you know, this is, you know, we're calling from the police department in Puerto Rico or France.
Mm-hmm.
Your granddaughter is here, and she can't get out unless we get, you know, so much for the bail.
I've gotten those on Facebook.
And they know that the grandkid is in that I mean, they've done the background.
Right.
And they know that the granddaughter is away.
Well, so here's one that happened to me. So I get a note from a guy on my Facebook page who tells me that he's trapped in – I think it was France. He's trapped in France. No, it was the Philippines. He was trapped in the Philippines, and he needs X number of dollars for a plane ticket, and he lost his wallet, all that stuff. So I call him. I'm like, hey, dude, how's the Philippines? He's like, what? And I'm like, you would not believe the email I just got. And I just took a screenshot of it, and I sent it to him. And we were having a laugh over it.
Yeah, they get hacked.
Yeah, they all get hacked.
That happens all the time. Last year I got one from a comedian friend. And this doesn't sound right. Let me email him separately, which I did. And he says, somebody hacked. Forget it. That's not real.
Well, sometimes you're really not quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, some of them look so damn real. Of course, when I have, you know, my name is, George Thomas, and I'm in the islands, and I have $10 billion that my father left me in a trust, and I can't get it out.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Someone recommended that you can help me, and I will give you 10% of, you know, but please send me your bank information.
I know, right?
I immediately send them your information.
Right.
Good. Go for it.
I get a lot of,
maybe
like,
I'll get the 10 million.
Yeah. I get a lot of, like, Russian bride.
Oh, those?
By the way, you order one, they don't poke enough holes in the box. It's horrible. A very staunch return policy.
My ex-brother-in-law, I call him ex. He's still a brother-in-law, but I call him ex because he doesn't talk
to
us anymore.
You excommunicated him.
Well, not really. He excommunicated himself from the rest of the family. He had a thing going for Russian brides, and he would get them from a catalog.
Mm-hmm.
If one didn't work out, he'd go for another, and then another. And that's what he did.
He
saved his receipts,
right?
Trade him in.
That's exactly what he did.
Did he have a leasing program?
Was he a little nuts?
But did he have fun?
Well, yeah, he had fun. In fact, his last wife, he said to me, I don't know what she sees in me. And I said, you know what? I don't either see what she sees in you.
Citizenship.
Does he have a large bank account?
No.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know. Yeah. Well, I have.
One of the Russian wives stayed long enough where she would be able to qualify for her own citizenship.
Okay,
and then she says, I'm out of here.
Well, yeah. How do you say hasta la vista, baby, in Russian?
Do svidaniya.
Do svidaniya.
Yeah.
Or as they say in the fuck off.
Yeah, right.
I don't know that one.
but I have a friend, I think he's probably in his mid-60s. Who loves, and he doesn't import them, but he loves Russian women.
Okay.
They have to be tall and large breasted, which is most of them.
Yeah, that's a fair amount.
And right now he's looking for a girlfriend. I said, why don't you, answer one that will put an ad in that you want to import a Russian woman.
Yeah.
He'll get deluged.
Yeah, I know. Right?
I said between 25 and 30 and describe them.
It's still going to be like more sacks of mail than the end of Miracle on 34th Street. You know, like.
Well, you can offer them, say, okay, if you marry me, if I die a natural death, you get my Social Security.
Right, right, yeah. Well, I don't know.
It has to be natural. Otherwise, I'd be worried that he'd be killed.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Well, wait a minute. Social Security, you get what, however you die.
Mm.
Okay. But once you have a named beneficiary, like your spouse,
But there would be the caveat there. If I die a natural death, my spouse gets it. If I die an unnatural death, Malcolm gets it.
I don't think the Social Security Administration will make that distinction.
Yeah.
I don't think. Unless you could name your estate as beneficiary.
Yeah.
And then the estate could determine, well, okay, A, B, C, D. Okay. It doesn't go to you. It goes to Jason or to Malcolm.
I say you just have it all cashed out and buried in the coffin with you.
Well, people would say to me, not that I did, what are you going to do with all the money you make?
Yeah.
He said, you're making tons. Not that I was. Mm-hmm. But I would kid him along and say, you know what? After I go, I'm going to have it piled up so high that I could see it from wherever I'm going. Did they like that kind of answer? They would look at me and say, what are you, stupid? Don't be ridiculous.
Right.
I would get that response a lot. Are you stupid? Don't be ridiculous.
Did you ever wake up in the middle of the night and wonder what happens after you're dead? I don't know if it counts with age, because I've been waking up sometimes and saying,
"You're still here. I'm still alive."
I'm still here, but
I'm alive. I'm alive.
Yeah. But what is death? Is there anything after this, or is it nothing? I can't conceive of nothing. I don't know why I'm talking about this.
It depends
on what brand of religion you believe in.
I'd be more concerned about what I'm wearing when I die, because that's what your ghost looks like.
Oh, yeah, but I'm going to be cremated, so what difference does it make? I mean, I'm going to be...
Touche.
I'm going to be...
Maybe you have yourself rolled into a cigarette.
No. I'm going to be cremated. Well, originally, I was going to be cremated, put into a dildo and put on the... So my wife could still share me. But she doesn't like the idea. Sorry,
I don't know if
You have it like pressed, like particle board.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a molded form.
Or what I was saying, I would want to be spread to the wind, so you're walking down the street and you get an ash in your eye and say, Malcolm, get out of there.
You know what? Can I tell you a funny story?
How about that movie? Remember, you guys must have seen the movie, the one with Steve Buscemi. He dies. And
Big Lebowski.
Yeah, and they have his ashes in a can.
Yeah.
And his buddy wants to throw it into the ocean off the cliff. Mm. Opens up the coffee can or whatever it is, throws it out, and the wind shifts, blows it all over him.
I've had
that. That was a funny scene.
Yeah, I've lived that. I've actually lived that.
I had a friend, a girl that was – I was in charge of everything there. I was power of attorney. So when she was cremated, we have a friend that has a boat in Santa Monica, but he was away for a few months. So I carried the ashes in my car, which is a weird feeling.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, you're always conscious that – there were ashes in the back of my car.
Yeah.
But anyway, we took out the boat in Santa Monica Harbor, and the wind was right. And as soon as I started spreading it, the wind changed.
Yeah, blew it all back.
And I got it in my eyes and my mouth. You don't taste too good, Margie.
Can I tell you, my girlfriend.
Retribution.
My girlfriend, I have known her for a very long time, and I was there to help spread her mother's ashes when we were younger. And so we go out to Red Rock Canyon.
But you wait for the mother to die.
she passed long ago, but nevertheless, it was just time it was that time in her life to go and close that door, right?
So where was Red Rock Canyon?
It's just outside of Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's
okay.
And it was like a favorite camping hiking spot.
Yeah, I know the place.
So I'll never forget this as long as I live. So she has her mother's ashes in a box, which is in a bag. And so all of us that are there to be a part of this ceremony, we all reach in, grab some ashes, and get ready to spread. Well, Bridget was holding the bag from the bottom, and when I reached in to grab a handful of the ashes, I ended up accidentally wrapping my hand around her finger, and I had a freak out. I'm like, oh my God, they didn't burn it all. And I'm like literally having this, she's like, that's my finger, idiot. You know?
And she decided to stay with you after
all. Yeah, right, you know? I mean, I was like, I just remember my heart sinking. Yeah. Like, oh my God, I'm holding a dead baby.
Is that in part of your routine?
No, but it should be.
It should be.
I think it was Keith Richards who was doing some, I don't know if it was a routine, but he was talking about I think it was his mother or father that was cremated. Mm. And they asked him what he did with the ashes, and he said he snorted it.
Well, I guarantee
and
you.
And he probably did.
I guarantee you, Tommy Chong will be smart.
But wait a minute. It wouldn't be illegal, so.
I don't know if it's illegal or illegal to snort ashes.
It's not a prohibited substance.
Well, certainly. Dead body, I can't imagine it's good for you, for that matter.
Can you imagine it bad for you? It's all organic.
Yeah, but you're ingesting pebbles, basically.
No, they grind it up.
Grind it up. In other words, if you grind it into dust, it's okay. Is that what you're saying, Malcolm?
Angel dust is called.
Yeah. Angel dust.
I guess it could be devil dust if the part.
They reportedly smoked Tupac's ashes.
Did they?
Yeah, some of his friends like managed to get his ashes and.
Did they get him high?
That, you know, it was mixed with so much weed. how could you really tell?
personal thing. Do you ever get high when you're on stage with alcohol or?
I get high after I'm done on stage. Yeah. I kind of like going on stage in that natural high state. Mm-hmm. I also find that when I get high, let me put it this way. Let me backtrack. I get high when I do open mics and I'm just there to have fun and there's no consequence one way or the other. But if I'm doing a club gig or a corporate gig or something where I have some skin in the game, like reputation or there's money on the line. I go in as a pro and totally clean, totally sober. I don't drink in my own life.
Wait, are you saying that you don't get paid at any of these open mic gigs?
Oh, the open mics, no.
No.
Okay. Let me say, there's no money in L.A. You might be able to get at most $50 out of somebody for just performing in L.A. All the money's outside of L.A.
Well, even supposedly the improv and clubs like that pay very little, unless you're a name. Then.
Okay, if you're a regular at the Comedy Store, you get $15. For your set.
What?
There's a check waiting for you for $15.
$15?
Might have gone up to $20.
The owner must be making money like crazy.
But people will die for that. I used to know Bud Friedman for the improv.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mark, I don't know if he's still there. Mark Lando. I think it's Mark Lando. I don't know if he remembers me. We went to high school together in Lincoln High School in Brooklyn. Everybody's from Brooklyn, by the way.
Yeah, right.
You know, yeah, except you.
Except for me, right.
Him. I thought he was. He's an imposter.
Well, I'm genuine Californian.
Let him stay.
Let him stay.
Well, we had another show we had with another friend of ours who was from the Tokens, Phil Margo. Mm. In fact, Phil and I went to the same high school separately.
You ever heard of the Tokens?
No, actually.
A Lion Sleeps Tonight.
You've heard of the tune, The Lion Sleeps Tonight?
Yes.
They made it big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A few other tunes also they wrote, which I forget at this
but
time.
But none were that big.
No.
They weren't the original writers.
No, actually, there were about three or four groups that did it before, but theirs was the biggest.
They were the rock hit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it comes from an old, I don't know if the words or the music is an old African tune.
It goes back to the 20s.
It goes back to Africa.
Pete Seeger even made a recording
Pete
of
who?
It. I love Pete Seeger.
I love Pete Seeger.
But you know what? His recording and the others that I've heard are not nearly as good as the one that the Tokens did. So they put it on the map.
Yeah, they did, I think, in the early 60s, they did the one that was like the number one hit.
Wow.
Yeah, for a while.
Wow.
But anyway, that's why we have the opening of two guys from live from Los Angeles here.
Yeah, right.
Or direct from New York.
Via Los Angeles. Yeah, I caught that. That was great.
Oh, you caught that?
Yeah.
Okay, what else do you have to promote? We have about 7 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Well.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah. Right. So one of my favorite things that I do a radio segment called the Hollywood Rock and Wrap Up, which is basically a 1 minute comedy spin on celebrity gossip news. So imagine Network News meets The Daily Show. And so I present these news monologue joke style format, and it's 1 minute. I do it 5 days a week. It airs on a bunch of different stations around the country.
Can you give us a sample?
I could play one off my phone, but
I tell you what, if we call you up, can you do it live for us?
Yeah.
Because you can call in here.
Or I can send you an MP3. Yeah. I do it 5 days a week.
No, but then we have to edit it in.
Ah, gotcha.
And Aaron, we don't edit, right?
No, sir, not here.
Okay.
Ain't no editing in this
Ain't
house.
Ain't no
huh?
editing. So, but what we can do is we
Pam
do
would have to do it.
We do have.
We'll work it out.
No, we do have an 800 number, mm-hmm. and we could say, okay, this is a segment from, and have you featured.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
If you're available, okay.
I love doing it.
We got it.
Yeah. And so basically, I kind of follow celebrity gossip news and just basically poke fun at it. The way the Daily Show would, for example. And so I do it in these little tiny sound bites. Like I said, it airs all over the country. I'm trying to build it into a national tour. And you can follow the Hollywood Rock and Wrap Up at Rock and Wrap Up on Twitter. You can also go to the Rock and Wrap Up YouTube page. You can check the Facebook page for all the stations I'm airing on.
We're going to make you a star.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. We're going to give it a good shot.
Really? Yeah. Do you have a manager or an agent?
I do have a manager.
Yeah.
I do have a manager. I manage
Joe Williams.
No, that's a PR. Joe, is he manager also?
No, Joe is a great friend and a great ally, you know? And but working in conjunction with my manager, I'm managed by a guy by the name of Dante, who is a very famous comedian, actor, writer, director.
Yeah, I know his company, Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, right. Yes, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Good, solid read. A lot of pictures. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so.
Okay, so I got movies coming out.
Okay. I got.
What movie do you have coming out?
We're working on production of Nuclear Zombies from Area 51.
Nuclear Zombies from Area 51.
I know. It's going to be.
So it sounds like a movie you want to see.
Absolutely. If you like Area 51 and you like nuclear powered zombies, then this is the movie for you.
I hate zombies.
Really?
I don't know why. Yeah, I think I'm too old for zombies.
I write. Okay, Malcolm knows I write. I've had books published and
so forth.
You're
right, you left here.
But you know what? When people ask me, I tell them there are two things I do not do. I do not do zombies, and I do not do vampires.
But you do transsexuals, that's the question.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, okay, that's all right. Yeah. Everybody's different strokes, right?
I mean, to me, my favorite is still, my all-time favorite is two of them, Boris Karloff and Bebe Lugosi.
Yeah.
Oh.
The original Count Dracula.
You know what the most scariest Dracula that I can think of that I saw? It was a TV version, and Dracula was played by Louis Jordan.
Louis Jordan.
And to me, that was the scariest of all.
You know, I got to tell you, my personal favorite Dracula is the most recent one, the Dracula kind of origin story movie that they just came out a couple years ago. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it or not, but it's basically the origins of Dracula. You know how like most like Bram Stoker's Dracula? Dracula's already been well established in his world and we're just going into it.
Yeah.
This is actually the telling of how Vlad the Impaler
became,
and that origin story. And I found it incredibly fascinating. I like origin stories more so than just kind of picking up walking into it.
Yeah, and you know what? There is practically no connection, or very little, between all of the different movie versions and Bram Stoker's original
novel. They all put a spin on it. You know, but for instance, I kind of like the franticness of like the more aggressive vampire movies. Like one of my favorite vampire movies is like 30 Days of Night. Are you familiar? Are you guys familiar with that at all?
No.
Okay. So long story short, this family of vampires goes to Nome, Alaska, the most northern city in the United States. Yeah. And they have 30 days of night there. And so they just use that as like their hunting ground for like a month straight.
Were they friends with Sarah Palin?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so they were in a helicopter, shooting at all of the victims.
But wait a minute, what do they do when it's light?
They leave.
They go back to the other place.
Yeah, they go back to wherever they came from, and then they come back, and they basically, like, every, during that time of the year, they come by and feed, so to speak. And so it's... And so the whole town goes on shutdown. Everybody's getting ripped up in the streets. And I love that gore stuff.
Have you ever seen Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein?
No. I know of it.
They have all the characters in. They have Frankenstein, Dracula, and the Wolfman.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, when I was a kid, I thought those were the greatest movies around. I remember seeing the Three Stooges, and I said, "Wow, these guys are incredible! Why don't they get awards?"
I was never into Stooges that much until recently. I used to love the Marx Brothers.
Oh yeah,
to me they are the funniest.
See, I'm a Stooges guy myself. You want to know why they never got awards? I can tell you why they never got awards, because their manager was constantly feeding them a bunch of bullshit about how nobody was receiving their work well in order to like pay them less money. In other words, he didn't alert them to their level of fame. he kept telling him, ah, you know, we're still working on getting you famous. Mm-hmm. We're still working on getting, so in the meantime, we can't really pay you what we want, what you want, you know. It was all a ploy. They didn't find out until after they broke ties how famous they really were.
Jason, we want to get
screwed.
We want to get you famous.
Yeah.
Tell the next 30 seconds where we can reach you, what we can see in you, what you want to promote.
Absolutely. All right.
Go.
So, go ahead and follow at Bro What Happened. Bro What Happened is a fantastic movie, hilarious. You can follow the Hollywood Rockin' Wrap Up at Rockin' Wrap Up, as well as the YouTube page Rockin' Wrap Up. You can find me, comedian Jay Hadley, on Twitter, as well as go to my Facebook page, comedian Jason Hadley. Got all sorts of upcoming dates and fun stuff and fun posts and enjoy. And JasonHadley.com is actually in its infancy, but on its way out. We'll be up and running soon.
Fantastic.
How
okay.
soon? Because what we tried to find it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. Actually, okay. it's I'm getting the finishing touches on right now, and then it'll be probably online the next 2 weeks.
And if
three.
You can't Good. Find them, just email us, and we'll give you the new update.
Yeah,
anyway, and anything,
we'll tell you where to go. Yeah.
Right.
We'll tell you where to go. Anything. Anyway.
What?
You have anything final to say?
Yeah, have a good time, you people out there, and
what do you mean by you people?
All you guys out there, okay?
Anyway,
everybody.
Aaron, it's a wrap.